Phase one is nearly a 4-acre building. I think we talked about that one. So there are additional considerations, one of them being alternate locations. I think that should be looked at. We have a new business park down by 27th and Elmwood with a new interchange. If we're worried about what user, I know we have CarMex is looking to move. We're gonna, if this all transpires, they leave, we end up with two empty business slots in our current business park. We're not really gaining that much when we lose two buildings, two property. You know, I guess you get a little more taxes because the building will be bigger. But we also spent the $9 million to help put in the water and sewer and the roads. So there are other considerations. I won't go through them all. But to vote approval, our job is to protect the community by verifying no undue adverse impact, meaning they need to prove there's no substantial or adverse or detrimental effect on the adjacent property owners or the area or the character. And we need to take into consideration the public safety, the public's health, the comfort, the general welfare, that it won't impair property values, which is a thing people had asked for in the agreement, and also the morals. I know that that was discounted a lot, but I had almost a dozen people spoke on the morals of the concerns of this project. That is actually also part of our consideration. So I don't see that the community is convinced that this is answered. I have questions. I think we're moving a little too fast for how much this has been in front of us. A very large of the minority obviously do not want this in the city. That has been made very clear to me. And with Copart, the pretty much a junkyard next to it, I talked to someone who said, well, Franklin will become the new old Cudahy. And that's not the future of the city that when I voted on the master plan, that is not the future of the city that we had in mind when we put that master plan in place. I do have the language from the Payne and Dolan document. I also had some questions about SIC codes, which don't seem to make up, but all qualified owners of record received by certified mail two letters describing the benefits and obligations of the property value guarantee program. One of the obligations of property owners wanting to participate in the program is returning their signed property value guarantee agreement due to us by October. 349 qualifying properties were notified as required by the plan development district requirements. 99 properties qualified for agreements with Vulcan, while 250 properties qualified with agreement with Payne and Dolan. That's quite a bit. And we're not even considering one property owner.
Alderwoman, two other aldermen would like to speak.
I have now finished.
And we will finish this agenda. Alderman Mayor.
I'll yield to the alderman of the district, and I'll come back to me if you want to go now or if you want to back cleanup. It's up to you.
Alderman Nelson.
Thank you. One of the things I wish to put in my motion tonight was to simply quote something from our UDO. And I'm not going to read everything that the alderwoman said, but she did touch on it. It says, no undue adverse impact. The proposed use and development will not have a substantial or undue adverse or detrimental effect upon or endanger adjacent property, the character of the area, or the public health, safety, morals again, comfort, and general welfare, and not substantially diminish and impair property values within the community or neighborhood. That is a huge, huge deal. That under the general standards part of this says no special use permit shall be recommended or granted pursuant to this ordinance unless the applicant shall establish, underline bolded, the following. And that was one of the points. So with that, just a real simple question to Mr. Strauss. Thank you, gentlemen, again for coming in tonight. But have you exhausted, do you believe you've exhausted all the options at your current location for expansion possibilities and upgrades? And I'll leave it like that.
So I'll answer that question. So we did look into adding under our current facility because it would be a much cheaper option for us. So we spent a bit on engineering and looked at what it would cost to add what is necessary. And as you could see, the building is 4 acres in totality, which is what we need to meet our growth plans. And currently we sit on a 6-acre site. And a good portion of that 6 acres is actually designated wetlands. So it's part of Root River Parkway. And we wouldn't be able to build on it. So technically, we would take up the entire land site with our building, and then we would have nowhere for the employees to park. So we vetted it, and it just wasn't a viable option.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. First off, there's been a lot of talk about you guys being a long-term business in Franklin. But to me personally, you gave that loyalty card away when you were playing with Milwaukee and pitting them against us. And there's no doubt in my mind that if Milwaukee would have taken you, you'd be thumbing your nose at us now. I also understand there were discussions early in Cudahy. You were talked about moving to Cudahy. Cudahy said no. Milwaukee said no. So you're back in Franklin. That being said, I really have not that much issue with your operations. I've been in your current building several times. You're successful because you're in a business park, an industrial park. You're not in a residential area. You're proposing a move to a residential area. And quite frankly, a lot of the things are concerns, but a lot of it is it's just the wrong area. And there is no guarantee about odor. There's no guarantee about other things. I know you're doing the best you can. But there's no guarantees. By the time these people find out it's not working, it's too late. You're there, and they're stuck with it. If you were going somewhere like the 27th Street, in the industrial park, the new one, right next to the freeway for your traffic and transporting on the freeway, not through a residential area. You're on a bus line, or you could be on a bus line on 27th Street. I think that would go a long way to alleviate Chief Remington's issues, too, with the fire department response, because you would have 2 full-time fire departments, Franklin and Oak Creek. You'd have all the assets of Milwaukee able to move in. You'd have the fire departments from down south able to get there at a much more rapid pace. But it's simply the wrong place to go. And now these citizens out here, they're going on 6 hours here, 5 hours here. You can tell that they care about this. We're jamming this major development down their throat. We heard the alderman was the first one to vote. This is his district. These are his people. But tomorrow they could be any one of our people. And it could be in any one of our district, and the rest of the council could jam it down our throats just like might happen tonight. And there's also a lame explanation going around that the alderman of the district can vote no so he doesn't get his constituents pissed off. Meanwhile, everybody else will vote yes and pass it quietly through, and everybody's happy. I don't think Alderman Nelson would lie to his constituents like that. And I don't think anybody up here would lie to their constituents like that. And anybody that would doesn't deserve to be sitting up here. So I think it's incumbent upon this council to stand up for District 6 citizens just like they're your citizens, just like we would expect the rest of the council to stand up for our citizens. Stand up for those citizens. We already know what Alderman Nelson's vote's going to be. Stand up for him. It's in the wrong place. That's all. Thank you.
Well, no. You've been pretty good all night, okay? Except for that side of the room. Let's talk about wrong place for a minute. Alderwoman, you've talked all night. Give somebody else a chance.
I just said a question.
No. Hold on. That's enough. You guys just can't get it through your heads. We got business to do tonight. We understand you don't want it. I get it.
We're gonna do
but
it
you
anyway.
Gotta listen to other people. Treat other people with respect. You're not. You are not. Officer, get him out. I want him out. That's enough. I'm serious. I am deadly serious. You particularly, Marcelino. Now let's talk about wrong spot, okay? The land price where they're at is very inexpensive, okay? 27th in Oakland, probably three or four times the money. They don't need access to 94. Their traffic comes from the southwest. You heard it tonight. You saw it on the map, right? So if they were to buy on 27th and Oakwood, they're going to drive past all your houses to get to 27th and Oakwood. What did you tell us tonight you didn't want? You didn't want the traffic going past your houses. Think. Use your brains. Right? You don't want traffic past your houses. Put them at 27th and Oakwood. They're going to drive past your houses to get to their plant. You guys just, you're passionate about it. I get it. I understand. You don't want us to eat meat. I get it. No, sir. Sorry. We're not taking it. I get it. I understand. You don't want this. I get it. But the seven of us are supposed to detach ourselves from the emotion and do what's right for 36,000, not the people that are jumping up and down. We're supposed to give it some thought dispassionately and do what's right for 36,000. I talked about the tax benefit. I understand you're worried about your property values. I get it. I talk about being polite, and I get talk back. It's amazing to me, just amazing. I understand you're worried about odors. I get it. You don't know. Nobody knows that there won't be odors. But we got to believe that there won't because there isn't today. They're going to build a brand new building. You got to believe that the technology in a new building is better than one that's been added on 11 times. Doesn't that make sense? A reasonable person would say, makes sense. A new building. Alderwoman Wilhelm, I listened to you for 45 minutes.
I'm not slamming my fist on the counter.
You can afford to listen to me. I'm passionate about this. I heard from people from Chicago and San Francisco, all of them trying to tell me what was good for my community. I worked for you people since 1998. Marcelino, you've been here for 5 years. I think I know what's going on in this community. No, you cannot, sir. It's my turn. I understand that you're passionate about this. I get it. I get it. Right? But we got to look at the facts, not what's going on in the emotions of all of this. Alderman Wilhelm gets a letter from the DNR. We've got letters from MMSD. Those are the people that really count. Right? There's more work to be done. I get it. We got to do the work. Let's talk about assessed value guarantees. How do you do that? Down the street, you got two dumps. Who's making the smell? Is it Strauss? Is it the dump in Muskego? Or is it waste management? How are you going to prove that? How are you going to do that? Tell me. Tell me, and I'll go negotiate it. That was rhetorical. You know, you got to think of these things instead of just standing up and saying, let's do it. Let's move them to 27th Street. Okay, we got a property value guarantee. Are we going to get one of those on 27th Street? Are we even going to find somebody to sell them the land on 27th Street? And who is going to work with Alderwoman Hanneman's constituents who are a tenth of a mile away and $500,000 houses in a subdivision, not one-off houses, a subdivision, and a hospital right there. Think about it, folks. This is in the middle of empty fields.
No, it's not.
It is absolutely in the middle of an empty field. The closest person is the Kennys. Believe me, I know. Not one of you, except for Tom, lives anywhere near this. So don't give me this. I know. I get people from Greenfield telling me what I ought to do. You guys, you got to be reasonable people, and you're not. You are not reasonable people. So that's my rant, okay? We got a motion on the floor. Okay, make it short. Alderman Willen, because we are getting through this agenda tonight.
Well, I'm hoping someone will consider, if you're going to go ahead and vote with this, I had a list of things that I thought you should probably include, unless you're just going to go with no conditions. You're just going to approve the special use without any conditions. There are concerns. I brought up several of them. I had a list of, you know, the property values and, you know, stuff like that. But I did.
How do you do property
values, Gary? Well, I guess you have to ask Don Adams, because the MMSD bought his, or Waste Management bought his based on how long it had to be on the market. So there are ways to figure this out. We just don't want to take the time to do it. But Yeah, I have the floor. You're interrupting me. You tell me not to interrupt you. I'm speaking. So I guess you just got done telling all of these residents that don't worry about it. It's not going to bother anybody. But when we suggest to move it over to 27th Street, you start talking about all these residents over there that will be bothered by it. It doesn't go both ways. You interrupted me again. All right, I'm done because I can't have the floor long enough to finish my cut.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
No.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
No.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
No.
Alderman Barber. Alderman Barber.
Yes.
Alderman Nelson.
No.
I said, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Okay. Please. I get it, but don't do that, please, out of respect. So the motion fails, four no's, two ayes, and the motion fails.
Did to me on Marquette Avenue. Okay, they're going to be really disappointed.
I could entertain a motion to deny.
A second.
I think he has one.
A motion to deny should be supported by points, statements of substantial evidence in support thereof in relation to the standard set forth in section 15-3.0701 of the Unified Development Ordinance. And perhaps the method of doing that is to have Alderwoman Wilhelm restate her prior points in reference to the specific standards set forth therein.
Alderman Nelson should make this motion.
Just a question, if what you're stating, I have. So if I make the motion and you feel that it is incomplete, could then you advise on that? Because I believe it is very thorough and complete that would satisfy your request for a denial.
Well, my thought was that in addition to the standards, the alderwoman was bringing up factual points, which
I put away.
At least some that I made notes on were not mere personal preference.
I could bring forth two with my motion.
Alderman Nelson, that's the floor.
Okay. My motion to deny the special use application submitted by Strauss Brands LLC to construct a meat packing plant in the M1 zoning district. Criteria for denial: failure to comply with the general standards required by the UDO for granting a special use exception for this development. Under Division 15-3.070001, Special Use Standards and Regulations. General standards: no special use permit shall be recommended or granted pursuant to this ordinance unless the applicant shall establish the following. And I will read two verbatim, which I read one of them earlier, so. No undue adverse impact. The proposed use and development will not have a substantial or undue adverse or detrimental effect upon or endanger adjacent property, the character of the area, or the public health, safety, morals, comfort, and general welfare, and not substantially diminish and impair property values within the community or neighborhood. Okay? I'm going to read one more. No interference with surrounding development. The proposed use and development will be constructed, arranged, and operated so as to not to dominate the immediate vicinity or to interfere with the use and development of neighboring property in accordance with the applicable zoning district regulations. Your motion.
First of all, earlier in the motion, I believe you stated special uses exceptions, and it's not an exception, it's a special use permission approval. So that should just be corrected technically. And the subject motion includes substantial evidence other than merely personal preferences or speculation directly pertaining to those requirements and conditions that reasonable persons would accept. I think you'd want to put some statements of facts in support of those particular standard provisions that were set forth at the public hearing or by council members.
I didn't write it for Mayor Olson.
For the record, Mayor Olson is accusing Alderwoman Wilhelm of writing my motion. That is not true. She did not have any input or guidance in this motion, and I will now yield the floor to her.
Mayor Olson, can I have the floor? I guess I'd consider making amendment to the motion to include adequate public facilities for police and fire protection, and I'd submit into the record the police report and the fire chief's letter with that. I'd also submit that the consistent with the and in harmony with the city's master plan, and put in the zoning master plan zoning map, which shows that we actually rezoned it to make it happen? You wanted substantial evidence. Mayor, city attorney would like to speak.
The city planning manager was looking at me when you first mentioned the city's master plan. I don't recall a rezoning ever taking place that was inconsistent with the master plan since, you know, the decade plus change in the smart growth legislation 2 decades ago occurred. So why would the current zoning be inconsistent with the master plan?
Well, the current master plan shows it to be business, which was why I said the water study plan is supposed to be consistent with the master plan. And we changed the master plan, and there's now the water study is supposed to be adopted by the DNR. And how can it be consistent with the master plan if you change the master plan? So something has to give here, because you can't have it all. The other additional considerations in our alternative locations, that has not been looked into.
How about letting the planning manager answer the question? Mr. Planning Manager.
I need a better handle on what the question is. The council at some point changed the zoning down here to M1, which at the time of the approval was consistent with the business park designation in the comprehensive master plan. So now you've gone from saying it was consistent with the comprehensive master plan to saying it isn't. But that would have been with respect to the rezoning application, which was completed, I don't know when, before I got here. So I don't know how that is somehow being conflated with something that Strauss is doing. Strauss is simply implementing the zoning that was approved by the Common Council. So to suggest that this is somehow inconsistent is not quite factually correct. If the water study is inconsistent with the comprehensive master plan, that's a problem that you needed to resolve at the time the water study was being done. And that, again, has nothing to do with the M1 zoning or the special use application before you tonight. Those are separate issues that staff has to work through in the course of our review of these applications. But they aren't related to anything that would be considered an inconsistency or something that Strauss failed to account for. Strauss is simply implementing the zoning that's at hand, subject to approval by the council.
Okay. I did mention the police and fire. That seems fairly valid, seems that we have the information at hand and the strain it will put on those services. Additional considerations is an alternative location. That's clearly one. Public benefit, the necessity and desirable interest of the public, or what it contributes to the general welfare of the neighborhood or the community. The desire of interest of the public is not there. And they didn't prove, it's their job to prove it was a public benefit. If we say we weren't convinced that they prove it's a public benefit, that's our opinion. That's subjective. It doesn't say you need 30 reasons. It just says you need to go through the special use and give a reason. So I gave you at least 3, and I still believe that this use is going to create a cascading of rezoning to accommodate that. So I don't think the use, the special use, is consistent with the master plan. And I did want to have the time to look up the SIC codes, because the SIC codes in the UDO don't even cover slaughtering. And the new SIC codes have been replaced by the new code. The new code covers slaughtering. If you look at our old ordinance, slaughtering or meat processing was a special use, slattering wasn't even in there, so I don't even know how they got the slattering from the first special use, because that was never even in there. And then you go to the new ordinance, it's still not in there, and then meat processing is not even an allowable use, so that was a huge change. So somebody deliberately made it a special use and still didn't add slaughtering. And you go two dot lines down, and it says poultry slaughtering. Well, if they can talk about poultry slaughtering, why aren't they talking about meat slaughtering when they talk about meat processing? I don't think there isn't ever a SIC code that allows slaughtering for meat in our ordinance. And I think that should be investigated. So I think you should go with some of the uses and maybe look into that SIC code issue, because that'll give you one more.
The table of uses for non-residential districts is 37 pages long. It covers literally every single SIC code in the 1987 Standard Industrial Classification Manual. Literally, slaughtering is in there.
Not for me.
It is. Every single classification involving an industrial activity is addressed in the SIC manual. If you don't read it, it's because it's probably not something that you're thinking about directly.
Well, staff
does our level best to try and figure out what these uses are. We constantly wrestle with what do we even call them? Because some of these uses, they border the line between uses that are either covered as permitted uses versus ones that are listed unreached district as a special use versus ones that aren't listed at all. Part of my impetus for reforming the UDO is in part because having a 37-page table of all of the SIC code uses is so overwrought and difficult for staff to even implement that it becomes very difficult for us to actually get to the heart of the matter, which is a use appropriate for a location in that district, in that place? And it's very difficult to do this when we're too busy hovering around in the mud over SIC code numbers. I would rather we didn't use those at all. I can tell you that there are a lot of jurisdictions that don't use SIC codes because they're frankly overwrought and way too complicated. Every single definition for uses is not even in the UDO. You have to go actually pick up the 1987 SIC manual to get a definition for what those categories are. It's not even in the ordinance. Our ordinance is over 600 pages long. It's absurdly difficult to navigate, and these uses are absurdly complicated and overly striated so that it's almost impossible to differentiate between one type of use and another type of use unless you can get down to the very, very small details about what they do, some of which is probably unnecessary in some cases, maybe not in other cases like tonight, but certainly in some cases, differentiating between different types of uses is, it approaches absurdity. That being said, I do know that meatpacking plants does include some level of processing, and that's probably the word that's used in the SIC manual. And that's probably why it doesn't necessarily say the word slaughter, even if that's generally the intent. It's taking a live animal and turning it into something processed. That's what a meatpacking plant ultimately does.